We need Jesus. On our way here, Janie and I were talking, and I said, yeah, we need Jesus every day. And we go, wait a minute, we need him every minute. Because as we know, all of us know, life can change really fast at times. And we need to be walking with him so we're ready whenever anything might come to pass. Well, I guess the guys, one to everybody. Yeah, I even got handouts made today. I know. For those of you that like handouts, for you that don't really care, doesn't matter one way or the other, well, you got something to follow along with anyway. Praise the Lord. So, I'm not going to start with my scripture right away. This is still the Way of Holiness series. We're on lesson 4 tonight, out of 10 lessons. But tonight I'm going to start a little bit different. So we're just going to go ahead and pray, and then you can be seated. So let's go ahead. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, my God, for bringing us here together again tonight, my Jesus. God, I'm just so thankful for your people, Lord. We're all here together, Lord Jesus, because we want to know more about you. We want to be here in your presence, my God. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us understanding tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, in our walk with you to get closer to you, to be more like you, just to think like you and to love like you, just everything about you. We want to be in us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So I'm going to start off tonight with this little story, this little scenario thing that I want you to think about for a little while before we get to the reason why I gave you the story. So the story goes, at a certain company office, there was a refrigerator purchased for the employees to use. I imagine a lot of you have that at your work. And the staff really did appreciate this place for their lunches and for their beverages, you know, keeping everything cold and fresh. But, however, it wasn't long before there was a problem. Snacks, fruits, half-eaten takeout lunches, opened unfinished beverages, they all started to fill this little compartment. It wasn't a full-size refrigerator, just a small one. And then it became one of those situations like, whose is this? And who's going to clean up this mess? This is just, this refrigerator is getting to be a horrible mess. And you know how it normally goes, that just somebody out of the group, somebody takes it upon their shoulders and they get in there and they just take care of it. Just couldn't take it anymore, so they wanted to get in there and clean it up. So on a certain Friday, they went in there and they threw out all the junk that looks like it was moldy, stuff that looks like it's been in there for a really long time, and they went and cleaned it all out. But then, the following week, there was a sign on the door of the refrigerator, and it said, all items must be taken from this refrigerator every Friday, or it will be thrown away. Okay, that's your little story to think about. It will link in after a while, but just think about that. And so we're going to go ahead to our next slide where we have our scripture for the night. Oh, here we go again, the way that it comes up. Proverbs 9:10. And it reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So I would think that all of us here tonight would say that we want to be wise, and we want to have understanding. I don't think there's anybody that says, oh no, I want to be a fool. I don't care what I know. And no, most of us want to be wise and understanding. But this scripture here, it tells us that fearing the Lord and knowing holiness will help us to get that, to get wisdom and to get understanding. You see that where it says, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding? So knowing about holiness and knowing about God, because of course he's the most holy, he's the holy of holies, right? So that's the more that we get to know about Him, the more we're going to get wisdom and understanding. So when some people think about holiness, all they think about is rules. And the first thing that comes up in their minds, oh, that holiness, that just means you got to do this and you can't do that and all that. But if you just think, what are rules? Are all rules bad? The definition of a rule is a prescribed guide for conduct or action. We have rules in several areas of our lives, in our homes. We've got it at school. Wherever you go, you've got rules, right, guys? They've got a lot of them, right, in the Navy. They have a lot of stuff that they have to follow. At business dealings, if you go into an attorney's office, they've got protocols. They've got rules of the way that they do things. So rules are there for order and protection. So rules are not bad. Rules are not wrong. But the thing of it is, I really don't think that any of us really do think that rules are wrong. I think what the problem is that most people don't really know why there's a rule. If you ever think about it, you know, why, whatever rule that you just kind of, I don't like that. I don't know why they make us do that. I don't know. Well, maybe you haven't gone all the way to find out exactly why the rule was put there in the first place. My husband deals with that a lot. He's been at the shipyard for 40 years now. And there's protocols that have been put in place because certain things have happened. And we need it to go this way because we don't want an accident to happen down the road. We need it to go this way. Well, new people, and there's a lot of new people coming in, they don't know those protocols. They don't understand what happened 10 years ago when we didn't do this and we had all these other things that happened afterwards. There was a reason that that protocol was set in place. And then that leads us to that word, principle. What is a principle? Principles is the reason for which a rule exists. The reason. The reason why someone felt that there had to be a regulation of some kind, there had to be some sort of protocol. We can't keep doing it like this. We need to set up some system. We got to have some rules here because it's not working this way. We got to do it this way. We got to do it that way. So, getting back to my little story, in that story of the office refrigerator, what was the rule? Marley. Yes, everybody's got to empty out the fridge on Friday. She was listening. All the rest of you, you just didn't want to raise your hand, did you? Okay, so that was the rule. You got to clean out the refrigerator every Friday. But what was the principle of that rule? It's not that hard. Blah, 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 blah. Right, you want to clean. You don't want it to get all dirty and nasty. You want it to stay clean. That was the principle of it. Some other examples. The rule is speed limit 65 on the highway. Some of us really don't like that one, right? And to be honest, I normally go about 5 miles an hour over. I don't know why either. It's like I've tried to figure that out. Why? Am I really going to get there that much faster at 5 miles an hour? Probably not. I don't know. But that's the rule. The rule is there's a speed limit on the highway. What is the principle for that speed limit? Yes. Right. The faster people go, the more accidents happen. And that's been proven. There's more. The faster you go, you can't stop quick enough or you don't see something or whatever. So there's going to be more accidents. That's the principle for it. How about the rule is don't touch the stove? Even the kids know that one, right? The principle is the stove is hot. You're going to get burned. Don't touch it. Exactly. So all these different rules really do have a reason behind them. Most of them do. I don't know if you can figure out one that doesn't. And some of them are obsolete, right? Have you ever heard some of those laws on the books about you can't tie up your horse at some store anymore or something like that? And it's still on the books. They could still give you a ticket if you put your horse at that store. But anyway, we are talking about biblical values, and slide five is the Ten Commandments were rules based upon principles. God didn't just pull them out of his hat and say, oh yeah, we'll do this and we'll do this. He had reasons behind all of them. And that's in Exodus chapter 20. I think you have that on your handout. I wanted you to know where you can find that, verses 3 through 17. So the first commandment, we're going to talk about all these rules, right? These are the rules from God, so they must be good. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the rule. And the principle is that he alone is God and should be revered as such. Have no other gods. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or bow down before it. That's the rule. But the principle is that God is a jealous God, and he's the only one to be worshipped. That's the principle. Don't go worshipping all these other idols and stuff, because there's only one God, and you should be worshipping him. And God is jealous. He doesn't call all the world's gods and idols to come and be seated with him in heaven. No, he's the only one. He owns heaven, and he's the only one that we're supposed to worship. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's the rule. The principle is that his name is primary to the expression of who he is. We're talking about God, and this is his name. So it's a holy name. We got to keep it as such. Holy. Don't take his name in vain. How about four? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is the rule. And that principle is that God created a day of rest for the benefit of man. He didn't make it for himself. He made it for us. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, a day to be set aside to worship him, a time of rest. Number five is honor thy father and thy mother. That's the rule. And that principle is respecting and honoring the authority that God has placed you under in the home. And to give you, the home is so important in our walk with God. It really is, because what happens in the home shines a light on who God is. And honor your father and your mother, if that's the rule, that's that preliminary place of learning how to give honor to God. Because we can see our mom and dad, but we can't see God. But we can use that as going towards the Lord. Thou shalt not kill, that's the rule. And the principle is that God alone is the giver of life, and he alone will be the taker. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery is the rule. That principle is that marriage is sacred to God and is to be viewed as a lifelong commitment. We were talking about it in our class the other night of how our commitment to Jesus Christ is compared to marriage. And that's why the Lord says the marriage is so important. It's sacred to God because, again, it points to God. It points to the way that God does things. So it's important. And God put a rule there for it. How about number eight? Thou shalt not steal is the rule. And the principle is that a man should only have what is rightfully his. Don't take other people's stuff. Plus, of course, you're supposed to serve God and or love God and love others. You take stuff from other people, they're not going to love you very easy. So There's principles behind all these different things that are in the Word of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor is the rule. And the principle is that God hates lying. He hates a lying tongue. There's many places in the Word of God that talk about that. And it's also an attribute of God, again. God is truth. So we're not supposed to be on the other side lying. We're supposed to be on His side in truth, because Satan is the father of lies, and we don't want to be on the other side. And thou shalt not covet. That's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. That's the rule. And the principle is that God supplies what every man has need of. We're supposed to go to the Lord, and the Lord knows what needs we have. So we're supposed to be content with the things that we have. Be content and keep asking the Lord for things that we feel that we have need of. And He will supply whatever we need. Thank the Lord. He's a good Father. Going to slide 6, kind of rules and principles that are contrasted. Holiness is not intended to be, nor should it be, a bunch of rules. That's not what holiness is. The Old Testament had many rules because God's people didn't have any moral guidelines. They were the first people that God had pulled out, so He gave them rules of what He expected and what they needed to do to be in line with God. He set that bar for them. He set those moral guidelines. He set all those Ten Commandments. You know, they didn't know any of that when they were in Egypt. And when God took them out, well, even with Abraham, you know, they didn't know all these things. And God set them in order for His people. Holiness standards are a way of life or a lifestyle that's based on rules? No. It's based on principles that are explained in the Word of God. Every commandment, every rule that God puts in the Word of God has a principle behind it. And it's not to be something to be a hindrance to you. It's supposed to be a help to you. That's what God wants to do, right? He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us. He wants us to do good and to be blessed. So these rules or these standards, these bars that God sets up in the Word of God, it's all for our good. And if we kind of, you know, get, I don't know if I like that one, I don't know. Well, find out what the principle is. Find out how does God want to bless me through this? How is this going to be a blessing in my life? If we just focus on just one rule, a lot of times, don't we do that? Sometimes we just get on this round and round and round and round and round thing about something that I don't like. If you just focus on the rule but never search out the principle, you're going to have a misunderstanding. It's even if you had some situation with somebody in your life and you just keep going over and over and over and over in your head, but you never look for a way of fixing it, it's just going to keep going and going and going and going and going. But God has a way of giving us understanding. Within the church, a pastor has to set standards or rules because we're a church. We're a group of body. We're of people. We're God's body. And there's going to be things that have to be in order so that we have order and have things go smoothly, right? As yesterday was such, it really did go very smoothly with our communion and our foot washing and everything, because we had a plan. We had things that we were going to, a standard, if you want to say it that way. This is how we're going to do it. And that's what rules are. This is how we're going to do it. That's what a rule is. So God has given authority to the ministry in order to help the church. Again, rules. Fences in our yard are there to help. If we have little kids, what do we put fences up for? So they don't get out into the street. So they're protected that way. We put them up there so that maybe a mean dog can't get in and hurt our kids. God puts these fences, if you will. He puts them up in our lives because he loves us. They're all in here to be a help to us. In Acts 20:28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." God has made us a special entity. And he's put leaders in this entity to help us grow, to help us come together, to keep God number one, to keep him first in our life. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So the Lord has put the responsibility on the ministry to lead the church to Jesus. Leading the church to Jesus, that's the whole thing. So again, the example of yesterday, there's a lot of churches that don't do the foot washing. They don't do that. But for whatever reason, the Lord said it in the book, it was for our own good. You might not even understand exactly what it's all about, but it's for our own good. You might not agree with it. You might not understand it. But God put it in there for a reason. He did that to the disciples for a reason. And if we follow God, he's going to bless us. I know that. He's going to strengthen us. So I think we could all agree that some rules in life don't make sense. We know that. There's a lot of stuff out there that don't. In fact, there's one in this area. The first time I read it, I'm going, what? That is ridiculous. And just the sign on the road, some of you that have been in the area for a long time, you've probably seen them before too. It's this little sign that says, "Fine for littering, $219. Anybody seen that one? Oh, James has. Have you seen that? $219. Why $219? If it was me, I'd say $250, you know, even it out, $200. $219? Can anybody give me a reason why they would do $19? It just seems so ridiculous. But I imagine they had some sort of reason that they, I don't know, if it goes to 220, it goes into another level of law breaking or something. Is that what happens? I couldn't figure that one out. Oh, they give you all the fees afterwards. Okay, and that leads up to $300, right? Oh, yeah, I couldn't figure that out. Next time you see it, oh, that's the one she was talking about. Yep. So things in the Bible or things at church or at work or in life, they just don't always make sense. We can't figure it out. How many kids have said, well, I don't know why I have to do that. Well, your mom told you to do it. Go do it. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Sometimes we just have to obey. That's a lot of the stuff, too, is this, even though we don't understand things, especially in the Word of God, we just have to obey. I imagine a lot of you have got situations at work that have rules that you don't like to do, but you do them anyway because you want to keep your job, right? So, but if it's something that relates to you and your walk with God, that puts it at a different level. It would be very wise for us to find out what the principle behind it really is. Usually when you find out the principle, the rule makes a lot more sense. Like you've got to clean up at the end of work, right? When you're all done with passing out coffees all day long, got to clean it all up, I know. Got to clean it. Somebody's got to do it, and the ones that are getting paid are the ones that are going to do it. So there's rules, and we have to follow them. Slide number 7. says, rules change, but principles never change. And that's what we find over the years. You know, there was a time in church where people always had to wear nylons. The ladies, not the men, of course, the ladies had to wear nylons if they were going to come to church. It was expected for them to do nylons. Well, that, no. The principle is still there that you have to dress modestly. Yes, you have to dress modestly. We're not going to expect you to come with mini skirts to church and, you know, 5-inch heels. I don't think that's the way that you want to show yourself either. And guys, too, you know, you got to think about how you're coming to church. This is the place of the Lord, so we should look for nice things to wear when we come to church. The rule is that God is holy, and we need to be holy, and we need to shine the right light for Him. Yeah, those rules may change, but the principles never do. You always want to keep your refrigerator clean. You might throw everything out on Monday, but not on Friday. But you still want the refrigerator to be clean. Slide 8 just says it leads us into the Old Testament definitions of holiness. There's a few different definitions here, but in the Old Testament, in every instance, on slide 9, every instance of the word holiness in the Old Testament, every time it's used as holiness, it means sacred, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed, to respect greatly or set apart for holy use. That's hallowed, is to respect greatly or set apart for holy use. So this holiness idea, it's a principle that we live by. It's a principle that we're looking to a God who is holy, and He wants us to be a holy people. Some of the scriptures that we have to go with that, in 1 Chronicles 16:29, I don't have them written out on the slides, but we have the verse there. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That's in 1 Chronicles 16:29. In Psalms 93:5, it says, "The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." God isn't going to change. He's going to be holy forever, and He wants His people to be holy forever also. Isaiah 35:8, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." Ah, that's up there, the way of holiness. In Obadiah 17:17, Obadiah only has one chapter. So Obadiah 17 says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness." It kind of surprised me when I looked up the word holiness in the whole Bible. It's only mentioned 43 times. I thought it would have been a whole lot more than 43. I said, 43? There's got to be a lot more than that. Well, then I looked up the word holy. You want to guess how many times that came up? 611. God is holy. It's all in the Word of God. It's there. It might not be the word form of holiness, but holy is in there for sure. Slide 11, let's go there. Now, there's New Testament definitions of holiness, too. There's actually 6 different meanings. Yep, those are the ones that we just did. Yeah, those slides kind of messed up. There we go. The New Testament definitions of holiness. So there's 6 different ones. Slide 12 in Luke 1:75, it says, "In holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life, we're supposed to serve him in holiness and righteousness before him. In Ephesians 4:24, it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Holiness is important to God. In these two verses, the holiness is defined as piety. And piety is to be holy in natural obligations. If you want to get an idea of what piety is, see 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, where it says, "Add to your faith virtue, and add knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity." Verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you," all these different virtues, all these different things of holiness, "if they're in you and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren," you're going to have understanding, "nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You're going to have understanding of the Lord if you walk in faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, because that knowledge is his holiness. Understanding God, understanding his holiness is going to make you wise and give you understanding. In Acts 3:12, there's another way that holiness is defined. In this verse, it says, "When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people." He had just healed the lame man. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us? As though we, by our own power or holiness," I'm not holy enough to heal anybody. I don't have that power. It's not our holiness. It's not my godliness. That's the definition of that piety, of that holiness there. Godliness. My devotion to God isn't that strong to go around healing everybody. It's God's power that's working through me, that we're going to be the conduit of God's workings through us. If we go to the next place that it's used, is in 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting it. It's something that doesn't come naturally to us because we're natural people. We're humans. We're serving a holy God. So we have to perfect our holiness. We have to keep working at that. Keep God's spirit flowing through us. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep reading his word. Perfecting that holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, "To the end that he may establish," or set, "your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Those of us that are born in Jesus Christ, in his eyes, we are considered saints. Years ago, when I was first came into the church, we use that a lot. People coming up to the altar, they say, "Praise the Lord, saints! Praise the Lord, saints!" And now I think too many of us think, "Oh, I can't be a saint." Well, it's not in us. Again, it's in him. We are saints in his holiness because he makes us holy. But this kind of holiness is defined as quality of sacredness relating to moral purity. Your quality. How much of your life have you made sacred? How much are you perfecting those things? So true holiness, of course, again, the holiness starts inside. It's got to be in our heart. It's going to be inside. And then it's going to manifest itself through our outward moral actions. How do we act? Morals are principles of right and wrong behavior. The Christian's morals are founded on God's view of right and wrong, which is a firm foundation, black and white. My husband helped me with that so much when we first got married, because I definitely had the world view of morals. Well, it can't be just truth or not. It can't be just black and white. It depends on the subject. What are we talking about? Who's involved in it? You know, it can be any way. It can go this way. It can go that way. And you know what happens with that when it's so fluid? They use that word fluid. You know what happens? Confusion. You don't know where to stand anymore because things could change. It could be this way. It could be that way. You have confusion. You have strife. Well, that's not the way I think about it. Well, that's the way I think about it. That's got to be your view. And well, how about if we look to God's view? If we all stood in God's view, there wouldn't be that confusion and that strife. Amen. And then I came across this and I just felt like I really needed to share this tonight because it was really one of those scriptures that you come across and go, ooh, wow, that's a rough one. So I came across it, now I'm going to share it with you. Isaiah 30, and this is in the New Living Translation, Isaiah 30, verses 8 through 11. Of course, you could go to your word and look it up and find out what it says. But I'm going to be reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord said, now go and write down these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness that these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the seers, or the prophets, or the ministry, stop seeing those visions. And they tell the prophets, don't tell us what is right. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. Get off your narrow path. Stop telling us about your Holy One of Israel." Is that the world we live in today? Yeah. I don't want to hear anything about church. Don't tell me anything about that. You know, oh, that's just too of a narrow way. You don't want to go that way. No, we want to go the broad way. Well, the broad way leads to destruction. So if being moral is being holy, being immoral is to be unholy. And that's where our body is the temple of God. And that's why he wants us to be holy. We are his temple. And then we're supposed to treat our bodies with reverence and respect because it's God's. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. So he wants us to be holy like he is holy. Slide 15. Romans 6:19 says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." So before you came to God, you lived out in the world, you did all those things. "Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." So now that we've come to God, our lives are not supposed to be the same. God wants us to come out from among them. "Be separate, saith the Lord, unto holiness." Romans 6:22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Because heaven's going to be a holy place, folks. It's going to be holy. It's not going to be like this world. It's going to be a holy place. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And that's that state of purification. Again, a place that you're going to keep working on your morals. You're going to keep trying to line yourself up with the Word of God. A state of purification. I'm going to strive to have a pure mind, pure thoughts. I'm going to strive to do good things, righteous and holy. Going on to the next one, Titus 2:3. I fall into this category. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." So Paul was telling Titus, you can teach even the aged women, not the old ladies, the aged women, that they their behavior is supposed to be in a holy manner. So this verse is defined suitably or properly reverent to places, that would be like the church, actions, the things that you do, things or people, things, I suppose that could be like the communion that we did yesterday, things, or people who are sacred to God. So keeping the ministry at a high regard. Don't tear them down with your words. Don't, whatever. We're supposed to keep that as a sacred, suitably or properly reverent to these things, the sacred things of God. We want our church to have God's presence in it, to be this holy place. So when new people come through the doors, oh, we've prayed that many, many, many times, that when they come through the doors, that they will feel God's presence here, that holy presence. You don't get that everywhere, and it's something that we have to keep working at. That's why we have prayer on Monday nights. That's why we do the Bible studies. That's why we do all the things. We want more of God to be here. We have the pulpit up here, the platform, the altar serve area. Those are all set apart as an area for the workings of God. You know, when we ask people to come up to the altar, it's just like this congregation area for God just to move from shoulder to shoulder of people. But it's set apart. It's holy, and we're supposed to have respect for it. And yes, kids have a hard time because you'll see them running up here sometimes and you'll see the parents, get down from there, get down from there. You're not supposed to be just playing on there because it's set apart. We're supposed to respect the things in the church and of God. So the last one, Hebrews 12:10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, our parents, our fathers, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He continues to help us, show us things that we might be doing wrong, showing us where we could be working on things, showing us things that we could be doing better. And that's that state of sanctification in a moral sense. A moral, again, is that standard of right and wrong. Right and wrong. Not the world's everywhere ideas, but the right and wrong, what is right and wrong. So holiness is of our life, how we act, and our character, what's down inside of us. The Lord sometimes brings us down some trials, some situations that are meant to show us what's inside and that we need to change that. I've been there, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But then again, God does it to show us what's there and what needs to change. Because he wants good for us. He wants us to do good. So holiness is a part of our inward part and our outward life. What's in the heart that people can't see, only God can see, and the things that people can see. If you go ahead and stand with me, I'm going to finish here again. We're going to go back to Proverbs 9, verse 10. That's where we started out tonight. But I'm going to read it in the easy read version, where it says, wisdom begins with fear and respect for the Lord. So if you want wisdom, if you want to be wise, that's where you would start. Knowledge of the Holy One, knowing God, knowing his holiness, leads to understanding. You're going to understand so much more when you start understanding God and his ways. Oh, you're going to understand him so much more. So I want to finish tonight just with this thought, and then we'll pray, that we can't have holiness without the Lord. There's a lot of good people out in the world, that's true, but to be holy, we need God's Holy Spirit in us. It's his Spirit that teaches us and forms us to be like him. Because we're his children. He wants us to be like him. Following his principles, and I said principles, that's going to give us understanding to the rules in your life. Following his principles will give you understanding about the rules in our life. And how are you going to get there? Read the word. I don't know. Here we are in February. I hope everybody's getting somewhere in their Bible reading. I hope you've got some sort of plan, hopefully that you can finish it out by the end of the year. Read his word. Pray. Not just the, oh yes, God, I love you prayers. But pray in the Spirit. If he's given you the Holy Ghost, he's given it to you for your good. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And what God will, he'll heal your heart. He'll touch your heart. He'll help you there. And then ask for spiritual understanding. He said that we can ask and he will give it to us. Keep growing in the Lord and his holiness will shine through you. And I would hope that that would be a desire for all of us so that we can walk as his saints, right? Walking in his holiness. Let's go ahead and just pray right now. Lord Jesus, I do thank you, my God, for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, God, for your people. And I ask, Lord Jesus, God, that this message tonight, Lord God, would follow each and every one under the voice, under my voice here tonight, Lord Jesus. God, that it would follow them. Lord, bring it to their remembrance, Lord Jesus, in everything we truly are supposed to. What would you do, Jesus? What would you do, Lord, in situations? Help us, God. Give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to love like you, to have faith like you. God, Lord, to be have brotherly kindness and that charity, that wonderful love that only you can give, my Jesus. Heal your people tonight, my God. Bless these families, each and every family that's represented here tonight, God. Lord, I ask, God, that you would help them to be firm in your word, firm in the foundations of you, Lord Jesus. God, that they would be blessed abundantly, God. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Oh, let's just give him praise. God, I love you, Lord. I love you. I thank you. I give you glory. I give you honor. There's none like you, Jesus. Oh, you are the Holy One. You are the Mighty One, Lord Jesus. All things are in you, my God. Oh, to have a desire to live for you, my God, to live with everything in us, Lord Jesus. Oh, I love you. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor, God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy are you, my God. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, go. Be blessed in Jesus. And you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.